with me. Acts chapter 4, I want to share just a brief message with you from God's Word about Easter, about resurrection, about sharing the good news. When you find that, Acts chapter 4, whether in the Bible that you have, or there's a Bible in the pew in front of you, or if you take out your smartphone and you can just type in Acts 4:33 and you'll be right there. And then would you stand together with me? You've been sitting for a little while. I'll have you stand and stretch. I don't want anyone falling asleep in the next 25 minutes, so have you stand together with me. Just one verse this morning that I wanted to talk about with you and hope to be an encouragement to you this morning as we gather together. It's Acts 4:33. It says, "And with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the cross, that your Son would come, he would willingly, he would lay down his life, he would take the penalty for sin so that we don't have to. He would take the punishment and wrath that sin deserves. He would take and wrap that all on himself and defeat sin and death and the grave, and he would rise again. And Father, that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We praise you for that. So we pray you'd work in our hearts this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to thank my wife for putting together, working with the music, special music that we had, and then everybody that was involved. Of course, we love the kids' choir. That really started on our Wednesday nights where we have kids' club, and Kevin working on that guitar and working with those songs, and those kids singing, it's great. It's a great thing. And so from the youngest to the oldest, it's been wonderful hearing songs about Christ, about the cross, about the resurrection. So you ask, why this passage that I'm showing you this morning? And it reminds me of a story that Chief Gordon Temple shared. There was a older lady living by herself, and a man tried to break into her home, and she was very afraid. She heard the sound, and as this intruder was coming in, she knew somewhere in the back of her mind, if you're ever in a difficult, scary situation, if you can remember a Bible verse, that will help you. So she was scared, and the first thing that came to her mind, she said, Acts 2:38, and the burglar just ran out the door. Well, later when the Tuscarora police captured him, they said, what were you doing, and why did you run away? And he said, "Are you kidding? The lady said she had an axe and 2:38s. So Acts 4:33. I don't have a good joke for that, but Acts 4:33. The book of Acts is a record of how the apostles who saw Jesus and saw him crucified and then risen, they go out into the world and they take this message that God is ready to forgive and save all who will believe in his Son. And Michelle and I were talking this morning. She said, you know, it's not a faith in faith. If you just believe something, what happened is a historical event, and there were eyewitnesses who were there. There were hundreds of people in Jerusalem who saw Jesus alive after his crucifixion, after the Romans had tortured him and put him to death. He rose again, and he was seen by hundreds of people. Well, some of them wrote it down. They recorded it. You think about our history of our nation. How do we know that George Washington was the first president? How do we know that there was a Revolutionary War? How do we know these things? There were people there who wrote about it. who wrote it down, who recorded those events in our history. And the same is true with this history of Jesus and the resurrection. So the apostles, they go out, and having seen the Savior risen from the grave, having seen him ascend into heaven, you couldn't stop them from telling people this good news. They had, their lives had been changed. They themselves had seen the love of Christ and the power of Christ. Someone like Peter, who had denied Jesus, who said, "I don't even know him," and then repents of that and receives forgiveness and is restored. And so you can't shut him up. You can't stop him from telling this good news that you too can be forgiven by God. That God has opened a way of forgiveness and salvation. And there is a heaven and there is a God who is there who loves you and wants to forgive you. He's angry about sin. And you and I are too, by the way. This morning I saw that there was a bombing in Sri Lanka and hundreds of people injured, and I don't know how many hundred died. Just someone that just wants to blow up things and blow up people, and you say, how can that be? And that's wrong, and it is wrong, and it's horrific. And our God is not okay with sin. He's not okay with that. Is he a loving God? He is, but he's also a holy God and a righteous God. And so there's a penalty for sin. We would not want a judge who, when all the facts were given, would say, well, you've clearly done all these crimes, but it's okay. Just go ahead and try to do better. We wouldn't want a judge like that. Wouldn't last one day on the bar. So how can God forgive my sin? How can God forgive your sin and say, it's okay, just come to heaven? How can he do that? Our sin is not okay with God. It offends him. And so what he did is he made a way for your sin to be forgiven. And the way is Jesus. The way is his own son who came and who was perfect and who lived a perfect life. And yet he said, I will take all of your sin, whatever you have done in your past, whatever you're ashamed of, whatever you wish you could go back and change. Jesus said, I'll take that. I'll take that on myself and I'll die. I'll take the penalty for your sin. And in exchange, you trust me. You trust me that I'll forgive you. You trust me that I rose from the grave. Well, the apostles knew this. They'd seen it firsthand. So here's this one little verse, Acts 4:33. There's three points I pull out of this. I see great power, a great Savior, and great grace in this verse. Great power, great Savior, and great grace. So great power. It says, with great power. Usually, in the book of Acts, when you see that word power, it's talking about miracles. The apostles were gifted by God. They could heal a person who was crippled. They could do, they had these miraculous powers that God gave them. Why did God give them these things? Well, these were ordinary men. These were fishermen. These were IRS workers. Well, tax collector, I guess, sort of similar. What did they know about God and spiritual things, and how dare they suggest that we didn't have to bring sacrifices anymore? So God empowered them to perform miracles, to convince people that God was in this. The Holy Spirit has come, and things are changing. You don't bring your lamb or your sheep for a sacrifice because the sacrifice has been made. Jesus has come. The Lamb of God was slain. So the apostles are telling this message, and it says they have great power to do it, great power to witness. He says they're giving their testimony. They're just telling what they had seen. Just like when you give your testimony, how God changed your life, how God saved you when you were a sinner and he brought you to himself. That's your testimony. These apostles, that they are sent out by God to give their testimony, to tell what's happened to them, to tell what they saw personally. And God gave them great power. Second, there's a great Savior. And obviously, this is the most important part. It's the middle of the verse. With great power, the apostles are giving their testimony, their eyewitness account, to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. They were there. They saw him. At one time, they were meeting together. Do you think these guys were afraid? Oh, yeah. If the chief priests and the leaders of Israel had turned over Jesus to the Romans, and they convinced the Roman government that Jesus was dangerous. I mean, he was claiming to be a king. And the people said, "We have no king but Caesar. And if you let Jesus go, you're no friend of Caesar's. You're part of an insurrection." Or maybe we'd say, "You're part of treason against the power of Rome." And so Governor Pilate, he doesn't want any of that on his record. So just to sort of get rid of the whole thing, he says, "Okay, you go take Jesus, crucify him." His soldiers carry that out. And so now, if you were one of the disciples, how would you be feeling? Because you were with him. You traveled and served and spoke for him. And now these guys are afraid that they would be next, that they would be captured, that they would be tried, that they could be nailed to a cross. And so they're gathered together, huddled together, afraid. And Jesus, risen from the dead, appears to them and speaks with them and comforts them. He says, "Peace be unto you." Would that give you an amount of peace to know that someone had been crucified, had died, and was alive again? And he's saying, "Go be my witnesses. Go tell. Just tell what happened. Just tell that I'm alive. Just tell that God is working and he is calling people from everywhere to turn to him, to trust in him, to turn away from sin and receive forgiveness, receive adoption into a heavenly family. Go tell that witness." The Holy Spirit comes and they're empowered to go, and you can't stop them. You can threaten them, you can imprison them, you can beat them, and they say, "We will testify to the great Savior, to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus." I love it that it's the Lord Jesus, that he's the master, that he's the king of heaven and earth, and they're giving their testimony to what they saw. I don't know where you were on October 14th, 1984. I don't know where you were on that date, October 14th, 1984. But I know where Phil Eyal was. He was at Tiger Stadium. And it was Game 5 of the World Series. And Phil was there and saw the Tigers beat the Padres in what might be the last World Series the Tigers will ever win. He was there at the game. He saw the plays. Kirk Gibson, home run. He was there for that. He can tell you about it. You should ask him. He can tell you. How can he tell you about the Tigers championship? Because he was there. If he remembers, he was there. I'm sorry, I didn't have to go that far, but I did. Eyewitness, someone who saw something spectacular and they can tell you about it. You can hear it from someone else, but when someone was actually there and they actually saw it, and this is the testimony of the apostles, and they threatened them and they killed them, and they would not change their story. They would not recant. They said, "We cannot but preach the risen Savior." One old commentary says, "The resurrection is the crowning work of God in accomplishing our redemption." We know that Jesus died for our sins, but the resurrection is the crowning work of God. It was the final proof of the deity of Jesus, that he really was God. He said, I'll lay down my life and I can take it up again. It attested the full efficiency of his life, his suffering, and in his death, removing the barrier that separated us from God. He removed the sin, and it satisfied every claim to God's holiness and his righteousness. It showed that Jesus really was the Son of God. So this great power that the apostles had in preaching about a great Savior, I hope you know him. I hope that you've put your heart in his hand, that you've trusted him with your life. I don't know how else to say it. That you believe that he died for you, that he rose again to be your Savior. You believe in him, he'll give you a gift, eternal life, forgiveness. It's freely offered to you. Then you can sing with joy in your hearts like we heard this morning. Great power, a great Savior. And then the verse says, and great grace was upon them all. What's that? What's grace? That's just God's free blessing on you. Free gift of God kindness, God's mercy, that he cares for you as a person. He knows who you are. He knows all of our failures and our shortcomings, and he just wants to bless. Because of his Son taking the sin away from you, he can bless you with his grace, just pour it on you. In fact, the verse says, great grace was upon them all. It came and it rested on them. Wouldn't it be nice to know that God loves you? That God likes you? That God is pleased with you, that he wants to be with you and be your friend and be your father. Isn't that good news? And if you know him, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying, that the God of the universe is on your side. And nothing can stand against you. I mean, whatever terrible thing is going on in the world and going on in your family and going on in your life, God has not changed. He cares for you. And his grace is upon you. You trust in his Son. You celebrate Easter because of what Jesus did. And great grace comes upon you. God says, you're one of mine. You love me. I love you, Jesus says. Great grace was upon them all. Maddie was telling me this week, there's not a lot of songs about the resurrection. I think she's right. We should have more songs about the resurrection. But here's one, and maybe you've heard it. This song is called Living Hope. I'll just read it. Partly written by Phil Wickham. How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then, through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished. The end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross is spoken. I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Father, we thank you for your love for us that would see us as sinners and not want to judge us, but want to forgive us and save us. None of us are worthy of that. All have sinned and come short of your glory. The wages of sin is death. But through Jesus Christ, taking away the penalty of sin, dying in our place, and then rising again, we have eternal life, eternal hope. For all who will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so, Father, this morning I pray if anyone is listening that has never done that, has never called on you to be their Savior, I pray that in this moment they will turn to you. I pray that as we would sing a closing song that they would not be able to sing until they've turned to you, they've committed their heart to you. You've done all the work. You just call us to believe. And so call us. And Father, for us who've trusted in you, we are your sons and daughters, and we love you, and we praise you, and we celebrate our Resurrection Sunday this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing Crown.